You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Now, I think that you'd agree with me that there are many misunderstandings about scriptural teachings on debt. People often assume that the Bible takes certain positions when it really doesn't. While the Bible offers many warnings about the dangers of debt, it never says that you are violating one of God's commandments when you borrow. So let's take a look at what the Bible does and doesn't say about borrowing and debt, beginning with today's opening scripture, which is found, by the way, if you've missed it, in the book of Proverbs chapter 22, verse 7. It says, the rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is the slave of the lender. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 7. And there, that's a beautiful, beautiful verse, but also a warning. And of course, our friend joining us on the line, it is Ululu Ncube, to help us make sense of this. Good evening, ma'am.
Good evening, Tabula. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you for asking. And how are you?
I'm fine. Thank you. And Happy New Year.
I was about to say, are you still taking Happy New Year's? Because I am. I'm one of those weird people that take Happy New Year even in June. Like, I don't see anything wrong with that. Am I pushing it? You know what's the difficulty here is that we're trying to balance, of course, our Christian view and our Gregorian calendar and all that, you know. And so I hold the view that says the days before my birthday, I can always say Happy New Year and I will take it because my birthday is in August. So I'm very happy with that. So now I'm happy. Don't worry. Next time I call you in June, you'll be like, Happy New Year. You must just be fine with it.
All right.
Yeah. Are you well, though?
I'm well. I can't complain.
Ah, that's fantastic. And how was your day?
The day was productive.
Oh, nice. Productive. Yes, nice. Yes. Nice. Pray tell.
You know, Monday. It was a blue Monday, but we made the most of it.
Oh, that's really, really nice. You know, it's something about Monday. There's something about Monday and the air. I don't know if it's the same where you are in Namibia, but there's something about Monday and the air. You can tell from the sound of the cars in the morning, the mood. You can tell, you know, the traffic. Like, it's Monday.
Everything is
about. We have to drag ourselves on a Monday. So.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's one of those days. But like you say, we make the most out of it. Eh? We have to make the most out of it. So yeah. Anyways, really appreciate your time this evening once again. And thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate talking about debt. Talking about a very, very important thing. And we read there the book of Proverbs chapter 22, verse 7. What's your take on that one?
It's a very interesting verse.
Yeah.
The rich rule over the poor,
Yay.
And the poor slave
Yay.
To the lender.
Yo.
And I'm sure many of us have read that book.
Right? Yeah.
Rich Dad, Poor Dad. What?
Yeah. Yeah, Rich Dad, yeah. Poor Dad, something like that. Yeah.
I mean, this is exactly what it's exemplifying. It highlights the potential consequences of borrowing and emphasizing that debt can lead you to the loss of your financial freedom. And you have somebody else who's controlling your finances without you necessarily noticing. You know, we say debt is the modern day slave trade. We volunteer ourselves to it. And
sure.
I like your preamble because you introduced us to the basic principles scattered all over the Bible that speak about debt. And you'll find that many of us would like to avoid debt. But this is what the Bible says over and above what Proverbs 22, verse 7. You know, you are a slave, literally, to the person you're owing this money to. You're taking away your financial freedom. And if you are in debt, you would relate exactly to what we are saying right now.
Sure.
Also, if you go to Psalm 37, verse 21,
yeah,
it says that the wicked borrows but does not pay back.
Sure.
But the righteous is generous and gives.
Sure.
And look at the strong language that the Bible is using.
Yeah.
It says the wicked. It doesn't even say the borrower, you know, borrows and does not pay back.
Sure.
It says the wicked. So essentially what it's actually telling us is that if you have a mindset of taking something that does not belong to you
sure.
and you have no intention of repaying it. Mm. You have a wicked mind. You have a wicked mind, and you do not have the spirit of righteousness or of right doing. Mm. You know, many times when we take out, let's say, debt or loans, we sign for it. That's our signature, right? That means we are giving our word that we are going to pay it back. And when we don't do that, we become liars. And I would like to introduce you to another interesting concept. You know, we know that we should not be in debt in any case, but many of us end up in debt, okay? So the contrast between the desires and the actions at the end of the day. And, you know, the education part is good. It's good to learn about debt, but it's not enough if we're not going to change our behavior. Mm. And in the past, we've spoken about this behavioral psychology, understanding why we behave the way we do. If you are drowning in debt right now, you need to have that inventory, that check, you know, check in with yourself, check in with God. Where am I missing the mark? Because you can't keep on, you know, doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a change. We call that insanity, right? Mm. So what happens is that there is a contrast between your conscious and your subconscious. Mm. You know, I learned about a fortnight ago, and it blew my mind. I'm still even trying to digest it. Did you know that every little promise that you tell yourself is recorded in your subconscious?
Oh, no. Okay.
Yeah. So if I tell myself I'm going to the gym today and I don't go to the gym, that's recorded in me. Okay. And then what your subconscious then does is it calculates the number of times you actually keep your promises.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. The optimal is that, well, we should all aim to be at least 80% or, you know, all the way to 100%.
Yeah.
But many a time you find that we are oscillating anywhere below 5%. Mm. And then the day you decide, okay, I want to change my ways. So, okay, I would like to start keeping time because I'm always a late, you know, come on. That's a goal that I made for myself. Or I've set a resolution for myself at the beginning of the year. I'm going to pay off my debts. I'm going to be a loyal and good steward. You know, return my tithes and offerings. Mm. Sorry.
No problem. Okay. While she's sorting that out, I was thinking to myself, every time you make a promise to yourself, it's recorded in your subconscious. Sure. And you know this thing, I agree with you there, Lulu, because, you know, when you say to yourself, I'm going to wake up and go to gym tomorrow and you don't go, my question was going to be, you feel tired because you didn't do it.
Exactly. What actually starts happening, sorry about that.
No problem.
So what starts happening is that your subconscious starts working against your conscious. There's a desire in your conscious to do something good, but then your subconscious starts calculating. But anyway, because we only keep 25% of our promises, you'll find that, like you were saying, there's this fatigue, there's just this general delay, or, you know, you're just struggling to meet that promise that you desire, you know, to keep. Why? Because now, literally, your subconscious is working against your conscious. Mm. And that's why Paul says, I think it's Romans 7, verse 7, the things that I desire to do, I do not do. So the things that I desire to do in my conscious, I fail to do, right, because my subconscious is working against me. And that's why it comes back in Romans 12, verse 2, to say, be ye transformed. Hey. If we were to rewrite that, we would say, be ye transformed in your subconscious.
Sure.
Be transformed in your conscious by the renewing of your subconscious to enable you to do that which you would desire to do. So that's just the whole general concept of what we're going to be talking about today when we, you know, we're introducing the subject matter of debt. It's not going to be an easy process if you are really struggling in debt. You may wake up tomorrow and decide, you know, I'm just going to set it right, my way is right, I'm going to pay off my debt. But give yourself the grace and the time to actually allow your subconscious to catch up with your conscious.
Well, what you've done there is you've given us a solution even in the health space, right? Because we are always fatigued, we're always tired. It just goes back to what did you promise yourself?
Exactly.
And if you don't do that which you promise yourself, you become... And I suppose that's what it means when you say, okay, I'm going to gym, and you go to gym, and it feels like the day, you know, it's easier to get through a lot of things because you did that very first thing you promised yourself in the morning. Sure.
It's the little victories that count. And sooner or later, we're going to... One of the debt repayment methods,
yeah.
right? We call this the avalanche, the
yeah.
avalanche method, the avalanche approach. You know, when you give yourself those small little wins in life, it sets you up for even the bigger ones. You don't feel like a failure. You don't feel tired to even tackle them. There's very little procrastination, but you're setting yourself up, you know, to climb. You know, they say Rome wasn't built overnight. And they also say that, you know, to achieve much, you start with the first step.
Yeah.
So it's those small little baby steps until you get there. Give yourself the grace and time to get there.
Sure. You mentioned something earlier on. You said we volunteer ourselves to debt. So my question then is, are Christians allowed to borrow?
So that's another interesting question. Are any Christians allowed to borrow? So I will answer this one in, you know, using examples, if I may put it that way, and then we will go to the answer. So I will not give a yes and no answer from the onset, but let's build on the answer. Let's build on the answer.
Yeah.
So the question that I would like to throw back to somebody who wants to know, in the first place, why are we borrowing? Read Proverbs 22, verse 7, that tells us that the rich will rule over the poor and the borrower is a slave to the lender. So if you want to be in the culture of borrowing, why do you want to be in a lifestyle where you are a slave to somebody else? So, and then the second question that I would also like to ask is, Matthew 6, verse 24 also tells us that no one can serve. Either you hate the one and love the other, you'll be devoted to the one, or you despise the other.
Yeah.
Do not serve God and money. What is driving my desire to borrow? And then the question again that I would like to ask is your management of your relationship with your desires and money. If your desires are greater than the money that you have what we call the insatiable wants syndrome. Okay. Or you are not satisfied with the means that you have. Desires, you know, they're spiraling, they're going out of control. And if you were getting into debt, is it to try to satisfy these desires that are already exceeding your financial standing? Or are you a person who has reached a point called the satiety point where your money is greater than your desires because you've reached a level where you can control your desires? And that is very possible. You know, many a time we say that we are sinners, born shaped in iniquity, born, you know, in lawlessness. There's no hope for us. We can never live a victorious life over sin. If you tell yourself that, then of course, sin will always be your master. But if you are also hidden in the blood of Jesus Christ and you receive the power to overcome your sinful tendencies, you too can live a righteous life, but not in your own power, through the power of Jesus Christ.
Sure.
So that's the same thing that we need when we are approaching debt. Okay, it's a mindset. It's these desires. It's and you know, they say that if you learn to live below your means, that way of showing love to yourself. It's self-love. That's the modern day self-love. Learning to live below your means. That is definitely very crucial. And then another one that I would also like us to tackle before I actually answer if we should be in debt or not. What kind of debt are you talking about? What kind of debt are you entering into? Because you find that many of us who are signing up for credit cards, right? We then they give you the wings that you have money, money that doesn't even belong to you. They come off at you and they tell you that, well, it's 55 days interest free. And you know that banks love the young professionals when it comes to this one. They are willing to dish out. And then they lock you in just as you are starting your professional career. And it's very difficult to come out of it, right? You find that many of us are swimming in personal loans, and these are unsecured personal loans, revolving loans, temporary loans, payday loans, overdrafts. Many of us, when our salaries are coming in, we are already broke. You know, I always feel that you're broke, literally on payday, because somebody has already wiped that money in, right? Or these overdrafts, literally every month you are living on an overdraft. That means you are living on borrowed money every month. So if you're going to be entering into debt, what is the purpose of this debt? Is it consumer debt, literally where I'm borrowing money because I need to be buying groceries? I need to be paying for my gym memberships. You know, is it where I need to be going shopping every month? Are you buying the latest iPhone? That kind of debt is debt that we should not be locked up in as Christians. That's where we need to have the satiable ones, where we control our desires and our wants, and we learn to love ourselves as Christ loved us. And that means living below your means. And then, like I've mentioned, there are many people who take out debt for trivial lifestyle. things, you know, trying to keep up with the Joneses, you know, trying to accumulate a status. And you can already see these are distorted ways of trying to lead life that is a lie. It's a lie. And if that's the reason you are taking out the debt, then that is a very big red flag. And I would recommend that you check in with yourself again, like I said, have inventory, check in and take yourself to the Lord, take yourself to financial advisors, and let's work on it.
Yeah.
And then you'll find that, you know, earlier we spoke about poor dad, rich dad, right?
Yeah.
Rich dad, read that book, right? It has some very good principles. The one time the rich dad would take out dad debt is when he was investing in a project that would yield more return than the debt.
Yeah.
And if you are thinking along those lines, we were thinking, okay, fine, this is a business loan. I may not necessarily have the money for it, but I have the collateral for it.
Yeah.
And it's going to yield more returns.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, the benefit you are going to get from that debt needs to outweigh the cost of that debt. Many of us don't count that. We don't count the cost of the debt. And we run wild with this debt, all these personal loans, you know, that are really, really not necessary for us. And if we could really have the financial literacy, you know, understanding the types of debt that we are entering into. And many of us don't educate ourselves on these things.
Yeah.
The banks, financial institutions will come off at you, oh, we're offering you this personal loan, it's unsecured. Did you know that there's actually a higher interest rate on an unsecured personal loan? And even student loans that many of us are being dished out, do you know that is unsecured? So obviously your interest rates are higher. They're way higher than a secured loan, like a home loan.
Yeah.
And then I'd also advise, take the steps to avoid taking group schemes, thinking that it's an investment. Let's avoid, I think we've spoken about this pyramid scheme, we've spoken about these get-rich-quick schemes. Let's avoid that, because many people are entering into debt over these schemes, thinking that it's an investment and I'm going to get more returns on it. That is not an investment when you're entering into these group schemes. So educate yourself. Educate yourself as a Christian. And before you take out any debt, when you have put these parameters in place, you'll be guided. You'll be better guided as to how you should go about it. So for me, the time, the only time that you should ever be sitting with, you know, sometimes we call it good debt, and that's where, you know, when you do your income to debt ratios, or, you know, you work out that investment or debt ratios, etc. If those returns are higher, that is a maybe safer way of doing it. And such that if you were to lose out in the process, you are not, you're not in a worse off position than you were before you actually took out that debt. So we need to really have those parameters in place. It's very, very, very essential.
I was going to say that you've said a mouthful there, because I've been noting this. I want us one day, one of these days, my producers are listening, but I want us one day to talk about net worth. This thing of I know my worth, but what assets do you have? You told me I know my worth. So I want us to one day unpack this thing of net worth, and I want us to unpack this thing of having your own personal balance sheet, the same way a company would have that, you know. How do you start building your own personal balance sheet so that your income to debt ratios is always balanced in a way, right? And so that you create liquidity where there needs to be liquidity. And I know these are corporate finance terms and corporate finance issues, but if you come to think about it, they also apply even on personal finance. But we never think of ourselves, I suppose, as a brand. You don't think of yourself as a company that is called Lulu Ngube Incorporated, you know? So even the way you carry yourself about money, about anything, should show that you take this thing as if you are running a serious business. So I want us one day to talk about that, because I think that's a very important one. But you touched on good debt, bad debt. I mean, let's be honest, Ndulu. I want a Porsche. Like I want a Porsche. And so good debt, bad debt, where do I draw the line? Because I need a Porsche, eh?
So now we need to understand.
Yeah.
Is a Porsche a need or a luxury?
At this moment, it's a need.
Let's define it further. What is the purpose of a car? It is to move from place.
True, true. That's very true. Yeah.
It's to transport you, literally.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It doesn't need to be luxurious in order for it to transport you. It can be basic, it can be moderate. And many of us are killing ourselves in debt getting these push cars. And like I always say, you only get the first 15 seconds of the glory from people.
Yeah.
Thereafter, you know, you are the one having sleepless nights, trying to determine how you're going to pay this off. And if you find that 40% of your income goes to your debt, you're already leaving your
Sure.
That is not a healthy way.
Sure.
And already there's a 10% that needs to go to God.
Yeah.
His tithes. I'm talking about offerings.
Yeah.
And how much are you investing and how much are you then living off?
Yeah.
So that's how we need to actually look at it. Like you're saying, literally run your life like a business.
Yeah.
You have your balance sheet, you have your income statement, and your assets need by far to outweigh your debts.
Yeah.
By far. Your income needs to outweigh your expenses.
Yeah.
Run your life like a business.
Yeah.
And you need to be a profitable business in order to be healthy.
Mm.
You know? But many of us, like you were saying, don't look at it that way.
Yeah.
So again, before you enter into any financial transaction, before you buy, before you do, why am I buying this?
Sure.
Why? Is the need, is this the one? Do I need it now or can it wait?
Mm.
You know, we want this instant gratification or because now the desire grew in my heart, I need to fulfill it.
Mm.
Or just because I got a little bit of extra cash or whether it's a bonus or what, I need to spend it on something that is luxurious. No.
Mm.
Why don't we get into the habit of investing? Why don't we get into the habit or the culture of emergency funds?
Mm.
And you'll find that it's a poor man's mentality, if I'm going to put it that way.
Sure.
Yes, yes. It's a poor man's mentality of constantly spending, so as to build a status for yourself and to get that recognition and recommendations from people. But a rich man, you know, and I don't know if this is in the Bible or this is actually layman terms, where we say, you know, in your you can have a rich person who behaves like a poor person.
Yeah.
And you probably won't know.
Yeah.
And you can have a poor person who appears to be rich, but they're swimming. They're swimming in poverty.
Yeah.
And I would have the former.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have the resources, but you don't need to show everybody for it. You don't need. You don't need to be putting it out there.
Yeah.
It's not necessary.
Yeah.
And you know, another important aspect that I just wanted to touch on regarding the good debt, right? So I in that category I put things like business loans and home loans, but also calculate that, like I said, the investment or the returns need to far outweigh the cost of it.
Yeah.
But you also need to kill that debt very fast. The longer you rest, the more expensive it becomes.
Sure.
And if you're going to get a home loan, let's say for 20 years, you don't have to wait for 20 years to pay it off. You know,
true.
I've actually realized even for myself, you know, when you have a house, you're literally renting that house for a good number of years. You're renting. It's not yours. It's not yours until you pay it off, you know. And you know, many times when people take out houses, or maybe they get the home loan and they buy these houses in quotes, right, these houses that they're renting out from the bank.
Yeah.
We're so quick to throw these parties. So, oh, my God. No, don't do that. Wait for the time that this person has finished paying off this house, because that's when it starts becoming an investment.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Before that, and if your house is not bringing any returns to you, it's just another expense. Yes, and for, yes, it may have a value of an asset, but essentially it's an expense, because if you default on your payments, the bank can repossess it at any time. It's not yours. You're still a slave.
Yeah.
And then another one is black tax.
Yes. That's a big one.
Black tax is so prevalent. Many of us find that we have there's black tax that is springing up on us, and we don't know how to manage it, we don't know how to plan for it, and then we end up going into debt because of these impromptu insatiable needs that just pop up from nowhere. And yes, I understand we all want to be relevant to our families, but let us not create the dependency syndrome. A man to fish, right, and you save him. This thing of constantly feeding people, is going to wear you out. And I'm not saying let's not help our family members. 1 Timothy 5, verse 8 says that he who does not what? Take care of his house is worse than an unbeliever, is an infidel. Okay? Let's take care of our families, but let's also plan how we do it. Not everything is an emergency. Not everything needs to be, you don't have to be entering into these things without necessarily planning for them properly.
Yeah.
Manage it.
Yeah.
So that's very crucial.
Sure. That's very, very important. Again, that's a topic on its own, this black tax thing that we need to talk about as well. That's an entire topic. But I really love what you're saying. So how do I practically then, Lulu, see whether, in terms of indicators, this is wise or this is unwise borrowing? Where do I draw the line? What are the things to look out for?
Okay. So the things to look out for, again, I'm just taking it back to the basics.
Yeah.
Always start with a budget. Unfortunately, for every financial literacy or financial discussion,
budget comes up.
After with budget.
Yeah.
Budget, that's extremely crucial because when you sit down and you're looking at that income statement and those expenses, for some good reason, you know, the Lord gives us good sense and you start to understand what is necessary and what is not necessary. You know, especially when you've done the budget right. You started with your offerings.
Yeah.
You've gone into investments, right? And this is on your earnings. And you're saying the goal is to leave below my means.
Yeah.
Whatever it is that is left, you will be reasonable enough to start with the needs.
Mm.
You know you need food, okay? And I'm hoping that we are living on healthy food and not junk food.
Mm.
And I'm hoping that we are not dining out every other day. That is highly costly.
Mm.
You're going to end up in debt if you're living that kind of a life. And when you have that structured modality, it will then put you in tune, right? To be on the right track with the aspect of living beyond your means.
Mm.
And then another aspect that I also wanted to touch on is if you start to realize that, okay, the income that I'm getting is not sufficient, why don't you consider ways to increase or diversify your income?
Yeah.
You know, taking on a part-time job, freelancing, or selling items that you no longer need.
Mm.
You know, you can apply the additional income streams directly towards even your debt repayment.
Mm.
Let's cut some expenses, you know, I've also spoken about this dining out list. You can cancel those subscriptions.
Mm.
If you realize that you've got that gym subscription and you're hardly going to the gym, right? Or in any case, you can't really afford it.
Mm.
You can cancel that subscription and, you know, work out from your house.
Mm.
Or you can also learn to negotiate lower rates or bills. You know, for those who have businesses with your creditors, you can enter into payment, repayment terms that are more user-friendly for you. Or, you know, redirect the money saved towards your debt repayment. That's where you should always start off. Like we said, if you are not going to pay off what you owe, essentially you're living a lie.
Mm.
That's number one. And we're not here trying to encourage wicked spirits. No. We are saying whatever it is you're owing, get it down.
Mm.
And then there's another aspect of, I think we've spoken about it in the past, of living muti, bazoti. You care so much about what people think about you. Gone are the days when we're living to show off or to show people the life that really is not real, trying to live this evil.
Mm.
Let's work on the psychological behaviors or these what do we call them, or these downsides, you know, these desires, these insatiable desires that get us on the wrong side of life. Another element that you consider is automating your payments. So it's not always going to be easy for you to do the right thing. Okay. Like we said, your subconscious may constantly work against you. But if you set up these automatic payments for your debts, you ensure that you don't miss a payment.
Yeah.
Okay. So already, if you know that there's money going off, let's say for the debt that you have or for your home loans, etc., whatever it is that is left, I'm sure you'll be careful on how you use it. And for some reason, the mind will redirect you on what is necessary and what is unnecessary. But for the most part, we always know what is necessary and what is unnecessary. We know.
Mm-hmm.
But we just don't have the power to do what is right. We always just want to follow our desires.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think social media as well is just making things a whole lot more difficult because, like you're saying, you said earlier on, you try and keep up with the Joneses, and sometimes you are not consciously trying to keep up with them, but this thing is just here in your face. It keeps on, you know, with these algorithms and everything. It's almost like the other day I was shocked. I was thinking about something and all of a sudden it came up on my timeline, like Satan. You see this Satan? Satan phone can read my thoughts now, and it just becomes so we are bombarded with these things sometimes. We're not even choosing to go after these things.
We really are. And that's why we need to constantly be on guard.
Yeah.
Because the enemy is roaming like a lion.
Exactly.
He may devour.
Exactly.
And we are thinking we're going to just be looking out and expecting a real lion to come to our houses. It doesn't work like that. Like you were saying, social media can be your target. I'm an algorithm for these ones. Be on the lookout for them. And you know what? Literally, also sometimes these algorithms, they prey on your desires. They are weaknesses, you know, and they prey on them. And if you are not careful, you are going to fall.
Yeah.
And that's why last year we spoke about you studying your biases.
Yeah.
What are your biases? Know yourself. And that's why you constantly need to have this inventory checklist with yourself. Whatever it is that I'm going to spend money on, is it necessary? Is it relevant? Do I need to spend the money on it now or can it wait?
Yeah.
And I think the longer we take to use money, the more wiser we become. This instant gratifications, most of the time you'll find that we end up spending money that we didn't intend to. We spend up money on frivolous things that we had no business spending it on. And I just want to also mention one thing there.
Yeah.
Building a good credit record for yourself or a good, you know, credit worthiness or culture from the onset. That's very, very imperative. And many of us, you know, once upon a time, I did this presentation where on a monthly basis, you know, because you have these insatiable wants or desires and you know you do not want to pay back what you owe, you start reallocating your funds. So where you've even automated, let's say, certain debts, you start cheating the system, okay? Reallocating what is supposed to be automated as debt, and you start shifting it to other accounts, using it for other things. So now you're even stealing from what you're supposed to be paying back. Now, you need to pay as you promised to pay and stick to that payment schedule. Why? When you build a good credit record for yourself, the day you actually need that debt, like we said, good debt in quotes, but there's very limited good debt, if I may put it in quotes, right? Because you don't want to end up being a slave to the lender. And biblically, so if you're going to be in debt, the Bible also says you shouldn't be in debt for more than 7 years. So find a strategy and means to pay off your debt so that in the seventh year, you've paid off everything that you're owing. And, you know, you'll find that when you do need the money, when you have a good credit record, you can get it as and when you need it.
Yeah.
And at a very good rate. That's another thing that many of us fail to also understand. That, you know, not all of us get credit at the same rate. If you have a very good credit record, you will get it on a moderate or even on the lower end of the rates because you've proven that you can be trusted. But if your credit record is careless, you know, it's just nasty. Your interest rates will be on the higher end. Oh, and just one. Shame, man, for those who are in debt in these days that we're living in of ever-rising interest rates, you are feeling the pain. I was saying when I bought my house, I was like 3-4 years ago, I was, you know, my mortgage was way, it was moderate. I'm paying close to 5,000 rands more. Yes, than I did, you know, when I bought this house. And why? Because of these ever-rising interest rates. And that's essentially becoming alive for me. You are a slave to the lenders. The lender decides today the interest rate is going to 14%. You can't argue. You can't. You're just going to pay. Either you give back what you took from
the rented house.
You just stay in line. That's exactly what's happening. But if you're on the other end of the investment cycle, you're on a good end because as it goes up, that means your returns are also going up. I don't know if we have time for this, just to get into how somebody can alleviate or reduce their debt, some of the mechanisms you can put
Yes, please. That was going to be my way to close off on this. Say, is it possible to live debt-free? And if it is, how does one start? Where do I start with that journey?
Okay. So we've already spoken about some of them. Create a budget for yourself. And as much as possible, stick to the budget. And you always say a budget is what you have on paper. Then you always have your actual spending. Make sure your actual spending and your budget are talking to each other. You need to do that. You know, you need to be so proactive. Every little cent, every little dollar, how you are spending, you know, keep an account of how you're doing. But also don't create very stringent budgets, okay, that are also going to help you and that you can also live up to because now really you're not doing any good for yourself. And then the other one that we also spoke about is trying to find other third income streams, right? Increasing your income if you feel that your lifestyle is a little bit expensive or in general, you know, the general cost of life is just higher and higher with this inflation that we come to. Cut your expenses. Very important. Know the difference between what is a need and what is a luxury. Know that. And if you are struggling at this point to differentiate, there's financial advisors that you can sit with and that can help you with that. We've also spoken about negotiating with creditors. We've spoken about automating payments. And then, now I'm going to give two practical methods. One One is called the Dead Snowball Method, and the other one is called the Dead Avalanche Method. Okay. So with a Dead Snowball, this is where you list your debts. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you put yourself down. Remember, we said that you need to run your life like you're running a business.
Mm.
So just like you would in a business, you have your your income statement, your balance sheet here, sit with your debts. List them from the smallest to the largest.
Mm.
And then you pay the minimum on all the other debts except the smallest one.
Yes.
This is the snowball. So you start small, on which then you will then put extra money on that smallest. Once that smallest debt is paid off, then roll that amount that you're paying on that small debt into the next smallest debt. And so on and so on. And then this method essentially provides a psychological win as you quickly eliminate your smaller debts. You know, you feel like you're winning in the small things, and then it gives you these wings to win even in the bigger things. And then the debt avalanche method is the opposite of the snowball method. So here again, it's important you list your debts, and you also include, I mean, the interest rate. So you list them, the interest rates, okay? And you start from the highest to the lowest. Then you allocate the extra funds to the debt with the highest interest rates while you're making the minimum payments on the others. When I say minimum payments, I'm not saying minimum payments as you determine for yourself. No, you determine for that particular debt, right? Once that highest interest debt is paid off, you then move to the next highest and so forth and so forth. And then this method, again, will help to minimize the total interest that you're paying over time. And remember, like we said, the longer you have debt, the more expensive it becomes. But the, if you can kill the interest as much as possible, it becomes a for yourself, you know, because you're not renting. You're not renting from the bank, if I may put it that way. You know, you're killing that rental period for yourself.
Yeah.
And on that, I would also like to say there's also something called the windfall payments.
Okay.
So with those ones, that's where you use unexpected windfalls, such as your tax refunds, your cash gifts, to make lump sum payments towards your debt. Like I said earlier, instead of you using extra cash for luxuries, why don't you, again, look at this balance sheet? You want a clean balance sheet, right? You want a balance sheet where your assets are greater than your liabilities. That's where now you're sitting with net wealth. You want that kind of thing where, you know, you have a healthy equity at the end of the day. So you keep your long-term goals in mind, and that way it will help you also stay motivated when you're paying off the debt. We're not trying to avoid it. We are facing it.
Yes.
We're facing it. Paying what we owe. That's very important.
Sure. And in 10 seconds, for some of us who like the finer things in life, you know, so I mean, we inadvertently, I suppose, will run into some sort of debt or whatever. We are not saying that people shouldn't live.
We are not saying that.
Yeah.
And in case, I mean, you will have occasional moments of luxuries.
Yes.
I mean, that's living, that's life.
Yeah.
But like I said, if you are a low-income earner, a moderate income earner, I'm expecting that these luxuries are limited in your life. Probably once a year, you can afford to save up and take yourself before a holiday, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
But it should not become your lifestyle. Not everything that is sitting on your expenses list, right, is a luxury.
Yeah.
No, it shouldn't be like that. But if you're rich, but even if you are rich, you know, God does not necessarily give us riches for us to splurge and, you know, spoiling ourselves and just treating ourselves as, you know, don't be wasteful with the resources God has given you. At the end of the day, you're still a steward. Be a good steward. And the less of ourselves, you know, we are always putting in the forefront and thinking also about the needs of others, we will not feel the need to be wasteful.
Yeah.
And if you're looking at, you know, the rich, like people like, who is the richest person that we have right now?
Well, in South Africa, apparently it's Motsepe.
Okay. All right. We also have people, okay, I know he died, but like Steve Ball.
Yeah.
I mean, if you meet that guy on the street on a regular, you would not assign riches to him.
Yeah. Yeah.
You really wouldn't. You wouldn't do that, you know?
Yeah.
And we have a high school dropout, right?
Yeah.
The way he lives his life is so, so simple. It's literally so simple. And I was even being told that he said that he was, that Bill Gates, he's not going to leave, which is with his children, because he also wants them, you know, to be industrious,
yeah, true,
and not spend the riches of their father.
True.
And he's always out there reading books, finding out smarter ways of doing things. But okay, obviously they have their flaws. I've just taken a snippet of their lives that is good to learn from in how we manage our finances. And if you want to reach that financial freedom, really manage your desires. Manage your desires.
Manage what
you need. And that's why even in the Bible, we pray for God to give us a spirit of contentment. And that's why even says, Lord, I don't want you to make me exceptionally rich, you know, that forget you. But at the same time, I don't want you to make me poor because I may end up stealing.
Yeah.
I just want to be moderate, to be able to cover my needs and as and when they fall due. And these occasional luxuries, you know, which are fine. A luxurious life, I would say, should not be our way of life.
Sure. Where can people find you on social media for more insights and suppose?
On social media, you can find me on Facebook, the Financial Tips Corner. And I've also started a YouTube channel as well.
Definitely.
It's a new corner. So, I mean, it has a whole variety of things. It has finances, it has food, it has spiritual tips. So now we have a whole package. Also be beneficial for our Christians out there, or even non-Christians. Yes.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, ma'am. Really appreciate it. We are going to follow you, and we'll have more of these in the next coming few months as well.
Awesome, awesome. Thank you very much for having me.
Have a good one.
Okay, thank you.
You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.